All right, let's say the verse, but you echo it back to me after, right? I'll say it first, you say it second. I'll say it first, you say it second. Ready? Proverbs 27:6.
Proverbs 27:6.
Faithful are the wounds.
Faithful are the wounds.
Of a friend.
Of a friend.
But the kisses of an enemy.
Are deceitful.
One more time. Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend.
But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful.
But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful.
Do you believe that's God's word? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Just remain standing. We'll have a word of prayer. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we just want to slow down for 1 second. I'm always in hyperdrive and hyper-go mode. Lord, I just want to say I'm blessed. I love you. I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to live or breathe. But I have friends. I have you, Lord. And these men have you. And I pray that each man in this room that doesn't know you as intimately as I do, I pray that their friendship with you would be as strong or more stronger than mine, Lord. And I pray for each brother in this room that has a closer friendship, like Abraham was your friend, that I would become like that man, Lord, in my heart. And you would be my friend, and I would be a better friend to you. The problem's not you, Lord. It's always me. So please bless each brother here today. We plead the blood of Jesus. We ask for minimal distractions. And then, Lord, we ask if there's one amongst us that's really not your friend and you don't even know them. I pray that today they might be saved. For Jesus' sake, amen. You may be seated. May God bless the saying of His Word and the reading of His Word together. All right. The topic this morning that I have been assigned and asked to speak on is how to be a man's friend. How to be a man's friend. And we're going to turn to the first book of the Bible and look at the first human friendship and go to Genesis chapter 2. We've said this verse, and we're going to say this verse, but I want to turn to Genesis 2, and I want to talk to you for a few minutes. We're going to do a little word study about this verse. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I'm going to ask you to help me, and I'm going to tie you helping me and your reluctance to help me in my message or my Bible study, and I'm going to nail you later for if you do or if you don't, all right? So let's get started. We're going to do a word study. Faithful. In your own words, it's okay. This doesn't make it Dr. Phil. It doesn't make it Oprah. Trust me, I can preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time shall come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but heap to themselves teachers, psychologists, etc. If you allow me, and psychologists are teachers. They teach bad doctrine. But does it make it Oprah Winfrey show? It doesn't make it Dr. Phil. But I want you to talk back to me. What does it mean, the word faithful? In your own words, what does that word faithful mean in a Bible context? Somebody on this side, we'll start over here with you,
like
brother.
Son.
This man has his hand raised. Yes, sir, Will.
Loyalty.
Faithful, it means you're loyal to something, you're loyal to someone. Tony.
When you've made a promise that you fulfill it,
you keep it. You stick with it. All right. Pastor Perro, yes, sir.
I was going to say, like the son, this consistency.
Consistency. Faithfulness is in season, out of season, consistency. Yes, sir?
Dependable.
Consistent. Faithful. Diligent. You make a promise, you keep a promise. Faithful are the wounds. All right, so we've determined what God means when He uses the word faithful. Consistent. Dependable. They keep their word. Those are all words that infer or teach what the word faithful means. Full of faith. It's there. Are the wounds. 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 This side, I need you guys now. They did fine on that side. Wounds. What is that word wounds when you think of it in any shape or form? Not necessarily spiritually, any way at all. Yes, sir. Something that hurts. Something that is bad. Yes, sir. Right here. Painful. It hurts. Wounds are when someone takes something sacrificial. Yes. Wounds hurt. They are painful, and sometimes other people take our pain. Yes, sir.
They leave a mark.
They leave a mark. All right. Marcus? Bruises are wounds. They're painful. They hurt.
Cuts.
All right. Cuts. These are all, wounds are a negative thing. Faithfulness is a very positive and good thing. But look at how God connects the whole thing. Faithful are the wounds, those things that hurt, those things that cause pain, those things that we don't want. Look at the source of a friend. Not your enemy. Not your enemy. Wounds of a friend. Man. And they are faithful. They're consistent. They're helpful. They're diligent. And so man was created to have friends, and faithful are the wounds of a friend. We're going to keep going back to this verse. Let's look at Genesis chapter 2, first of all. 2:18, all right? 2:18. Let's look at the first human friendship, if you'll allow me. Genesis 2:18. Now, again, friends may hurt you with wounds. And so I'm going to ask you guys, to, as we go along in this Bible study, I'm going to ask some reading. Can I get one man? When I went to Bible Institute, I went to Heritage Baptist Institute in Cleveland, Ohio, is where I got my Bible degree from. At Cleveland Baptist Church, Heritage Baptist Institute, and founded by Pastor Roy Thompson. And by the way, Roy Thompson was just here not too long ago. He's in heaven now. The last place he preached outside the United States was in my pulpit. That is a great privilege and an honor for me. And I'm probably the last man that he ever laid hands on and prayed for on planet Earth. And so that's a great blessing. Faithful men have gone before us. I was sitting there thinking, man, he was my pastor, and it was a blessing to know him. And I love him, and I'll always remember him. He was a great man of God. Can I get someone? This is what now he hired Doc Strachan, this cranky, mean, 110% full-blooded Scotsman born and raised in Canada. Mean old guy, all right? And he would tell us in Bible Institute, remember, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And I just said how mean and cranky this guy was. He'd say to you, you guys, when you read that book in public, you read it with respect. And he says, and you read it clear, and you read it loud, and you let it go, and you read it slowly. It is God's word. Now, he taught us that, and nobody liked the way he said it. Nobody liked the way he taught it. But I'm standing here. That was back in 1995. I'm standing here more than what is, how many years ago was that? Declan, math? How many? 16 years later, it stuck in my head, but nobody liked it at the time. So I need a volunteer to stand up on this side to read Genesis 2:18. Brother Daly, nice and loud and clear, because it's God's word. Thank you, amen. Doc would be proud. And so, thank you, brother. And so, it is not good that man should be alone. So, now, man was not alone because God made man, and God was with man, and God is ever present, and God is everywhere. And yet, God looked at man and said, it's not good that he should be alone. He needs someone just like him. He needs someone that's a human being like him. And so, God created Eve. And God made the first human friendship between a man and his wife. We are a social creature. We are people and beings that like to interact. Some live for it. Some people, if you put them in a room alone for more than 1 hour, they start going bonkers. Nuts. They start running around. They start climbing the walls. They start going crazy. Some people can't stand being alone. How many of you guys are like that? You're absolute 100% people persons. Anybody like that? Brother Hugh, okay, this brother here. Liam, you like being around? You can't stand being alone? All right. How many of you love to be alone? You could walk up a mountain for a month and never see anybody. You'd be grand, no problem. There's some, and the rest of you guys are in between somewhere. Brother Ledbetter and a few others, yeah. So there's all kinds. But innately, we are creatures to interact with other people. And so God made woman. And your best friend on planet Earth, if you're married, should be your wife. And all the married guys said,
amen.
Yeah, amen. Amen. You betcha. She ain't here, but you still should say amen. So, isn't that right, dear? You know. So, your wife should be your best friend. She should not be the old ball and chain. She should not be the old battle axe. She should not be the young battle axe. She should not be such things. Brethren, these things ought not be. I hear a lot of guys joking about wives, especially lost guys. Man, they're terrible. There's this contention between a husband and wife and blah, blah, blah. And I just, but really, your best friend in the world, the person that should be your best friend, that's your most faithful friend, should be your wife. We were not meant to be alone forever. It is not good for man to be alone. You need a friend, and your first friend should be a wife, but we're not all married. But we need to be a good friend. And if you don't, Pastor Ledbetter, I have to tell you, because everybody was cracking up last night. My little boy, not my little boy, he's not little, and he's getting big. But he says to me, Dad, did Pastor Ledbetter catch what he said? I said, I don't know, son, but it sure was funny. When you were preaching, it was an awesome sermon, brother. But when you were preaching, you were saying, there's no girls in our church. And you said, well, then find a guy. Think about it. We all looked at it. These guys were all, who was laughing over here? One of you guys in front of me were going, is one of you guys laughing? But you have to get the context of what he was saying right. You understand? He didn't mean find a guy. He meant be a friend, amen? Get a friend, be a friend. And so we're going to look at some friendships. We're going to look at Jonathan. We're going to look at David. And let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 18 this morning. Woo. 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse number 3. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse number 3. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse number 3. Can I get someone on this side? Yes, sir. Will you read it nice and loud? You got a King James Bible? All right, please stand up and read. If you don't, please close it and put it in the back of the room on the display table for poison or something, all right? But anyway, all right, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse number 3, if you would. Nice and loud, brother.
Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul.
All right, one more time, but a lot louder.
Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul.
Amen, brother. Thank you, sir. If you'd be seated. All right, you need to be a Jonathan kind of a friend. Jonathan was the kind of a friend that kept a promise. Jonathan was a man that loved his friend as much as he loved himself. Brethren, I submit to you this morning that there is probably maybe one person, but I don't know who it is, that even comprehends the depth of that kind of a friendship. Now, I'm not talking about a husband and wife. I'm talking about a man who has a friend that he loves as much as he loves himself. Amen? Very few people have a real friend. All right. It could be. But remember, the context of the study that I have been asked to teach you is that you need man friendship. Do you know why, Tony? And you're older. You probably could teach me this. You know what happens when a boy spends... Brother Perro preached on this last night. Thank God it didn't take effect in that way. However, what happens when a boy spends all of his life hanging around just females? What happens? He could become
feminine.
Hey, we don't need any more feminine men. Dear God in heaven, God don't need no more effeminate. Hey, effeminate's in the Bible. And it's bad. And it doesn't mean sodomy. It means sissy. Sissy. Hey, when you read the Word of God, stand up, open it up, say it loud, read it slow. That guy didn't have any sissy in him. Let me tell you, he didn't. He's up. He's a faithful man. He's up there, Doc Strachan. He's up. Mean old Canadian. He's colder than a Canadian January. I'm telling you, he's rough man. Woo. Let me tell you another Doc story. But so, in other words, men need friends that are men. You need friends that are men, and David and Jonathan had that. David had a wife, David had another wife, David had another wife, but he had a friend named Jonathan.
Amen.
He was his friend. And so we don't need, we need friends, and that's what Pastor asked me to teach on, is on spiritual, godly, male friendships. And so, oh man, help me, Lord, I know. No, I'll save that for later, that's all right. Yeah, I was, but I'm going to stay on target, thank you. You're right, man, boy, I tell you. You need to be a Jonathan friend. He loved his own friend as much as he loved his own soul. How many of you, now don't raise your hand or anything, just think, examine yourself right now. How many of you, besides your blood and wife, etc., how many of you have a friend like that? How many of you have a friend that loves you as much as they love their own souls? I have done it for years. Now, I admit in the last 9 months, I've backed off a lot. But I do it on purpose because it goes against the flesh. And I tell him, I love you, Declan. In Jesus, I love you. He don't like that. Folks, I'm going to get real personal right now. That goes against Irish culture. The devil with Irish culture. You're welcome. Amen. I don't need you to amen. I'll amen my own sermons. I paid my dues. I've been on this island for 12 years. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. Oh, I don't like it when a guy hugs me. Why? Do you know what David and Jonathan did when they met? He hugged and he kissed him and he wept on his neck. Now, I don't kiss Declan. I leave that to Bethany. Now, I'll give his little boy, Luke, a little fella, pick him up, give him a kiss on the head and pray for him and ask God to bless him, but I don't kiss his dad. He's too ugly. But anyway, that don't matter. I kiss my own boy. But you know what I'm saying is we have gotten warped values and twisted in that stuff. That's why I hug guys. I hug guys in my church. You know, I'm just not a huggy guy. Well, these guys in the Bible who wrote the Bible, who God really used, not just playing around used, they hugged each other. They wept on each other's neck. That's what happened with David and Jonathan when he found out his father was going to kill him. They met in the woods and all that. And he was sad because Jonathan knew a lot of things. But anyway, he loved him as much as he loved his own soul, the Bible says. And so Jonathan was the kind of friend that kept the covenant. What's a covenant? All right, we were here last. We'll go over here. What's a covenant? Talk to me. A covenant. Covenant. What does that mean? Sir. An absolute ironclad, dye-in-the-wool, hardcore promise. 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 I'll keep my promise. And David and Jonathan kept covenant that he would take care of his children, and he made promises, we'll be friends, look out for you. Friends keep covenants with each other. If you make a promise, you keep the promise. Did we read 18:3 already? Yes, we did. All right. There is promises that need to be kept. We live in, I'm a pastor. Some of you are pastors. And I have had people that's just as born again as you are born again, that are saved, baptized members of an independent, King James only, fundamental, aggressively soul-winning, militant mentality, Bible-preaching, pre-trib, pre-mill church, look me in the face. Tell me lies and just smile and tell me lies. And I know they're lying. They know they're lying. And it doesn't affect them at all. That's not a friend. That's not a friend at all. Amen? Amen. Do you lie to your past? Where were you? Oh, well, we were at the O2 concert. You know, I mean, we overslept. We couldn't make it or whatever. People should mean what they say, and they should say what they mean, and they should keep their promises and say, I'm going to do something. I'm going to be there. I'm telling you, I've had grown men saved as longer than a lot of the people in this room tell me, I will be at church. I will do this thing. I am part of this program. I am plugged in for God. Oh, well, something happened. I don't want to get ahead of myself. If I start using my illustrations, I'll get ahead of myself. Hey, if you say you're going to do something, do it. If you say you're going to be somewhere, be there. It's real easy. Now, you guys are in the box right now, okay? Not everybody here knows my testimony, but you know my testimony, right? Is not my background almost just as wicked as yours? Is not my drug abuse almost as wicked as yours? Right? You've heard it all. He knows my story, okay? So you guys are in the box right now, and you have to be where you say you're going to be, and you have to do what you're told where you're going to go. And for now, it's just regimentated for you. But one day, the key's going to open. You're going to get your diploma. You're going to get your hardcore, what do you call it? Adversity University ring. And there you go. And you're going to walk out the door. Yeah, does he make you guys walk around and say, kiss the ring? Hey. Jimmy, kiss the ring. Kiss the ring. Does he do that now? He's some kind of, it's a big man with a ring, Hey, kiss the ring. Listen, Someday you're going to walk out and you're going to have to be a man that does what he says and is going to be where he says he's going to be. You've already proven you failed before Christ, B.C., amen? You've already proved you can't keep your word. You've already proven that you lie, you cheat, you scheme, you scam, you use, you abuse. Now, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hey, mean what you say, say what you mean, and be there and do it without Layton telling you to do it. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Yeah? When you walk out, you say, why are you doing that? Because some of the guys that came to the meetings that were clapping the loudest and whooping it up and shouting the glory to God and having a time for Jesus are shacking up with whores.
Yes.
And they were sitting right there. Hello? Getting quiet on me, guys. What happened? Sorry, I said I would teach the Bible. I'm sorry, I can't. I get to preaching. Right? Testify, at least, you may not like the way I'm saying it, at least tell them that I'm telling the truth, right? Yeah. Guys stand up, praise God. Oh, praise God, praise God. You let them out the door. Back to the devil.
Right.
Had enough. It's not of God. It's not of God. Make a covenant when you walk out the door as a graduation day. This is real and it's not something I do just to dry out. Amen? Say amen. It's all right. Okay, stay on track. Now, a friend keeps a covenant, keeps a promise. Right. Okay. This is my wedding ring my wife bought for me when we got, it's not my original one. When we got married, she had no money. I had less. So I had to buy my own wedding ring. I bought hers. I did without lunch for 2 months to buy it. And I bought my own wedding ring. I went to a pawn shop. Jack's Pawn Shop. Do you know Jack's Gun Shop? Do you know the one I'm talking about on the, just before you get on the motorway, there was Jack's Gun and Pawn Shop. I went in a Jack's Gun and Pawn Shop, and I went in. I said, look, I got $25. I need a ring. I'm getting married 2 days. They pulled them out and said, there you go, slightly used. I said, that's all right. I put $25 down. I got myself a white little tin strip of ring, a white gold, and I took that thing in, and we got married, etc., and all that. But years went down the road, and she decided it was time that we had a little money that I got a real one, so she bought me one about 10 years ago. And it was one that I liked very much. It's a Clatta, and I like the Clatta. And I know most of you know the story of the Clatta. But what I like about it is that a Clatta ring represents three things. It has a hand, has a heart, and it has a crown on top. And if I understand the story of the Clatta, the reason, the three things that those represent is the heart represents love. The two hands represent friendship, and the crown on top of the heart represents loyalty. Loyalty, faithfulness. And if you're going to have friendship, I mean real friendship, there has to be love. There has to be loyalty to have a healthy friendship. It has to be, even with a friend's, a biblical Christian friendship. And so we need to be a friend like Jonathan. Let me say that again. I want you to catch. Let's all say the verse together again. Ready? Faithful are the wounds of a friend.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend.
But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. All right. It's important you get that. Friends will wound you if they're your real friend. So there needs to be loyalty. There needs to be love. And there needs to be friendship. We'll make a good friendship. If there's no loyalty, there's no real friendship. Let me say that again. If there's no loyalty, there's no real friendship. Do you know that most people don't have friends? You know what they have? Get it? That's all people are. People are not really friends. What people really do, thank you, sir, what they do is they use people. Amen?
Right.
And saved people use people. Do you understand that? Saved people use people. And that is so wrong. That is so wicked. I mean, preachers, God have mercy, preachers use other preachers to make them look good. Preachers use other preachers just to get stuff done. They could care less if they lived, died, breathed, fought, or anything, but they use them because they're in my network, and I'm the man of God on the move, and I got an iPhone, and I got a date pad, and I got a phone pad, and I've got this big IBM mentality, and you've got to watch out that you know how to be a Jonathan friend. If there's no loyalty, there's no real friendship. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 23. What time did you say again? How do I do this every year? I promise I'm going to stay on target, and I never do. All right, 1 Samuel 23. Let's go. I need a volunteer over here on verse 6. This side. 1 Samuel 23, verse 6. Nice and loud. Someone just pop up. Just pop up, please. On this side, please. Somebody man up, please. Anybody? Yes, sir, please. 1 Samuel 23, verse 6. Nice and loud.
Came to pass when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand.
All right, thank you very much, sir. That is not the verse I needed. I don't know where it is. I'm sorry about that.
I'm on 23, sir.
Is it 16 I wanted? Yeah, that'll work. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. Amen. Amen. All right, and so Jonathan went down into David where he was hiding out, and he strengthened him. Number one, a friend will be loyal. Number two, a friend will strengthen you. But look at this. Here it says wounds of a friend. Now, when we think of psychological abuse and mental abuse and spiritual abuse and even physical abuse, we think of it being negative, bad, and down. But there are times when wounds will help you. Let me go back to my lost days. First of all, I don't know if this is exactly what I want to say. Maybe this is the wrong friendship. But when we weren't saved, my best friend was named Tony Costa. He was a Portuguese-American boy. And we hung out with the Dempsey brothers and Mike and Dave South. And we were kind of always together all the time. Went to school together, played together. We lived wicked lives together. We drank together. We did everything together. Well, sometimes we would get really inebriated, and sometimes we'd start shouting matches with each other. He was my best friend. We'd get in each other's face, and literally, I'm telling you, we got in a punch-up that night, and I mean, he's thinking punched, and he was lightning fast. He just thinking nailed me. He knocked me down. I was bleeding all over. I had a black eye, and you know what? 10 minutes later, it was all gone, and we were fine. We were fine. It was over. Seriously. Seriously, it was fine. You understand? Because we're friends. Friends fight. Now, what I'm trying to... It just seems to kind of fit with wounds and things like that. But what I'm trying... I want some of you young guys... Listen, we live in the milksop day and age. Man, some guys have never had a black eye in their life. Some of them have never had their nose punched where it was gushing blood. Never. I don't understand that stuff. I've had my nose... I have woken up my pillow covered in blood from the night before. From being in a punch-up and then bleeding in the night. I don't understand this stinking Teletubby pillow puff day and age stuff. That's sick, man. Sick. It's not male. It's not man. I'm telling you, it's wrong. It's wrong. Anyway, but my friend, you know, he wounded me that night. I don't know if he was faithful or not, but he wounded me that night. But there is no, but you know what? I know why I said that. Because when the war was on with the other guys from across town, who was standing right beside me knocking them when they were going to knock me? Yeah, amen. You understand? I knew who I could count on when it was bad. And he was there through thick and thin. And I was there when his father died. And he was there when my grandfather died. And we understood faithfulness and loyalty as unsaved people. As unsaved people. And so we need to be a loyal friend, a loving friend with our brothers in Jesus Christ. Now, you can't be very close-hearted friends with everybody, but you need to pick certain ones. Let me tell you about my best friend. When I got saved, I lost all my friends. So that tells you, you know, okay? But when I have a best friend, as far as a guy, I've known him for 20-something years. We're best friends. We're a lot alike. Even my kids say we look alike. I think that's weird. I think I'm much handsomer than he is. Much handsomer. Much skinnier than he is. Amen. And much skinnier than he is. But anyway, we met in the Marines. We were in the Marines together. We hung out together. We started going to church together. He would give me rides, and you know, and so we would go to church. And then one day the pastor asked us to go into Chicago to a preaching meeting, kind of like this, but with thousands of people and lots of preachers. And he and I were going to take leave, and we were going to drive up together. And I was looking for God's will for my life. I wanted what God wanted. I was at that point, in that turning point, that the, if you allow me, the crossroads where you either go the way of the flesh and you're saved, or you go on for God. And I was at that road, and I said, God, I want nothing to inhibit this meeting. I don't want anything to distract me from looking for what you have for my life. And he was going to drive, and I said to him, I said, Mike, now listen, I know that you listen to a lot of funky, what we call, we were baby Christians, we were both saved less than a year. I said, I know you listen to a lot of funky contemporary Christian music. And I said, it's an 8-hour drive up there. I said, but if I'm going to this meeting, I'm not going to have any of that stuff in the car, because I need to prepare to hear from God, because I'm looking for God to lead me, all right? And so he got mad at me, boy. I said, Mike, I'll bring preaching. I said, I've got Jack Hiles. I've got Clarence Sexton. I said, I've got Larry Brown. You want to talk about Buddy Had a Friend? You guys need to get a sermon, an ancient, ancient sermon. I mean, you know, it was written in the days of the apostles. It's called Buddy Had a Friend by Larry Brown. Buddy Had a Friend. Buddy Had a Friend. He went on, Buddy Had a Friend. 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 You are now, or you soon shall be, what your friends are. Did you hear that sermon live? Did you ever hear that one live? Buddy Had a Friend. Buddy Had a Friend. Buddy Had a Friend. You know what your problem is? You got a friend. You know why you're on dope, or you were on dope? You had a friend. You had a friend. You had a friend. You had a friend. That is the problem. You know why you won't follow God? You had a friend. You had a friend. You had a friend. You had a friend. And that's what he preached, and it was amazing. And so I said to Mike, I said, I'll listen to preaching all the way up. I'll listen to good conservative church music and stuff, but no junk. He got mad. He wasn't going to go to the meeting. He was mad at me. He wasn't going to hang out with me anymore. He was totally torqued. But somehow the Holy Spirit got through all that thick skull of his. Don't tell him I said that. It's true. This is a true story. And he says, fine. He says, I've already put my papers in. I've got the leave. I have to go on leave. I might as well go to the preaching meeting. I was going to go anyway. So we drove up. We listened to preaching. We listened to very good music that would get us ready for the week. And I surrendered to go to Bible college that week. And he surrendered to go to Bible college that week. And he was mad at me. And I believe if we had got caught up in that junk, we may not have been spiritually prepared to get from God what God had for us, so that we would follow the will of God. Maybe he wouldn't, if he had stayed mad at this friend who gave him a wound about his music, he might have not have gone to Bible college. If he didn't go to Bible college, he wouldn't have met Terry, who became his wife, who went to the mission field with him, who serves God with him as he starts a church today. He might have missed the will of God if he didn't want the friend's wounds. Amen. I haven't done that for a lot of people, but I can say I did it for one guy, and he recognized the faithful are the wounds of a friend. And when somebody tells you you are wrong and he's your friend, take it the right way. Stop being a female. I'm so sick of female fundamentalism. I can't help it. It's men's meeting. I can't help it. My wife's not here. She said I could do this stuff, right? But anyway, I'm telling you, man. Hey, seriously now. I'm serious, man. Look, being a man, John the Baptist was a man.
Amen.
He wore camel's hair. He ate bugs for breakfast. Elijah killed everybody when it was over. These guys were not fairies. You fill it in. David was a man after God's. David was a warrior.
That's right.
A warrior. He had a lot of blood on his hands. He knew how to man up. I'm tired of fairy fundamentalism. We'd have kicked Elijah out of the fellowship. Amen.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have allowed him in. He wouldn't have been allowed in. This is what I said Sunday morning. I said, I'm going down to men's meeting because I didn't check my manhood at the door at the cross when I got saved. Amen. You're welcome. Think about that for a while. Man, I appreciate the work ethic these guys. Once laying in an alley with a needle in their arm, I watched these guys get to my church. I watched them fill a giant dumpster in 2 hours with the most dirty, filthy garbage buckets, piles of dump. Alan's up there going, down, garbage, down in this big dumpster. We got to make more room. Down. Just right in the filth of it. Hey, man knows how to work.
Yeah.
Where you going? I'm going down to get the doom on the scratch. I'm going to get my money. That's sick. God have mercy. You guys got Doline Cowboys in Scotland too, in England? Doline Cowboys. Yeehaw. Watch out for those guys. They're not manhood. Anyway, so Jonathan was the right kind of a friend. If you're going to have the right kind of friend, you have to have a love. You have to have a loyalty. And you be neat. Let's say it together. Ready? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Deceitful is a bad thing. Kisses is a good thing, but the kisses of the enemy are deceitful. I understand David and Jonathan crying on each other's neck. I was in school, and the first war in Iraq broke out, Desert Storm Shield. And I was in school getting ready to go in the ministry. I was all excited about it. Well, I got a document. I got recalled to go back in the military. I was done. It was over. It's finished. I loved it. I wanted to stay, and I never wanted to get out. Never, 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 ever. But God wanted me to. And so I got my documents, and I had to quit school and go back into the military. Now, you got to understand, guys, back then, before the war, we didn't think it was going to last 7 days. We thought we were all going to be chemically killed and nuked. That was the mindset. So I'm standing, come up here, Liam. Seriously, but it's laughable now. It was 7 days, it was over, but we didn't know that. The unknown is scary. And my friend Mike was there, and I was a single young guy, and I looked at him, and I was getting ready to go into the barracks to be processed and indoctrinated right back in the military. And I looked at him, and he put his arm around me, and I said to him, I said, Mike, I was bawling. I said, Mike, I'm scared. I don't want to die. I said, just pray for me. And man, that guy squeezed me harder than my grandmother Bridget ever did. And she could squeeze me. And that guy squeezed me. And that guy cried with me.
Amen.
And he prayed for me.
Amen.
He's my friend.
Amen.
And he will be my friend till the day I rapture out, please God. And that guy was with me when I was at my weakest moment, and he's still my friend.
Amen.
He's still my friend to this day. Go ahead and sit down. And you need to be that kind of, well, I'm just not an emotional person. I just don't let people in. I'm just not a huggy person. Yeah, you know why? You say, I'm just shy. That's just pride. You think about that for a good while. Shyness is pride. Shyness is pride. Shyness is pride. Shyness is pride. You say, what? Okay, watch. I'm a shy guy. All right, you ready? All right, everybody laugh at me. Go ahead, laugh at me. Everybody.
They're laughing at me. They're laughing at me. Everybody's laughing at me.
I'm going to deal with that one on popcorn preaching later. That's all right. We'll get there later. We'll deal with that one later. So you need to be the right kind of friend. You need to be willing to embrace your friend and help your friend and stand with your friend in his hard times, in his good times, his bad times. So rejoice with him. My best friend was there. The day he was born, I took my son. My wife just does home birth. It's not a doctrine. It was just an economical preference. I took my son right there, and I took him out. And I walked into my friend who was in the other room, and I said, Uncle Mikey, I want you to meet my son. God gave me another son. And the first person I put you in hands was my best friend. And I put you in his hands after I prayed that God would save you. I knelt down with you the first minute of your life. And I gave you to my best friend and put him in his hands because it was important that Uncle Mikey knew you. And so you need to be the right kind of friend. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 20. 1 Samuel chapter 20. I need somebody to read 1 Samuel chapter 20 on this side. Pop up real quick, if you will, verse 15. 1 Samuel 20, verse 15. 1 Samuel chapter. Yes, sir, brother. Nice and loud, please. Yes, sir.
1 Samuel 20:15. Amen,
brother. Thank you so much for that. Now I need someone to read 16 and 17 on this side. Somebody sit, pop right up. 16 and 17. You haven't read yet. Yes, sir. Will, if you would. Nice and loud, brother.
So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And then Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him. For he loved him as he loved his own soul.
There it is again. Amen, brother. Thank you, brother. He loved his best friend as much as he loved his own soul. And he said, I promise you, Jonathan, if you have children, your children, I will take care of them if I'm ever king. You can count on it. And I made out my will years ago. If anything ever happened to me, my best friend Mike gets my children. You say, what about Grandma Pittman? And what about Granny Hodge? Hey, they don't. I love my mother. I love my mother. Okay? My mother was a strong woman who had a horrible life because of my wicked father. And I love my mother-in-law because she can cook good. That's about it. All right. You know why those Old Testament guys were crazy when they married 2 and 3 wives? You got 2 and 3 mother-in-laws. What's wrong with those guys? Who wants 2 and 3 mother-in-laws? Amen. Say amen. She ain't here. Come on. Some of your mother-in-laws are dead and you still won't say amen. You're afraid of her. She'll come get you. She'll come get you. We're going to Grandma's next month, so don't you worry. She's a great lady. She's fine. All right, listen. Say, why didn't you leave your children, your mother or your mother-in-law, your father? And my father's deceased. My father-in-law. Because my in-laws don't walk with God like my best friend walks with God. And I know if anything happened, he'll wake up. It'll be at the kitchen table reading the Bible first thing before breakfast. No Bible, no breakfast. No Bible, no breakfast. No Bible, no breakfast. And I know he'll be in church on Wednesday. And I know he'll be in church on Sunday. And I know he'll be in church on Sunday night. And I know he'll be made to go soul winning. That's why my best friend, if anything, God have mercy, happens to me. My wife at this point gets my children. You understand? Some of you, and I'll deal with that, I think, in the next minute or two here. I got 3 verses, Pastor Ledbetter. Sorry, I just got to keep moving. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 23. Quickly, somebody to read. 1 Samuel 23 on this side. 1 Samuel 23, verse 9. Pop up, please. Just pop up instantaneously on this side. Yes, sir, Brother Dan. Then, okay, Tony, you do the next one. Yes, sir, Brother Dan.
And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar, the priest, bring hither.
All right. Thank you, sir. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him, against David. And he said to Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod. So David knew that Saul was out to get him, but he was out to get him secretly. Secretly. You know there's been people in your life that didn't like you, didn't like anything about you, and if they could make you fall and trip and stumble and mess you up, if they could get away with killing you, they might. You know you've had people in that your life that hate you that much. And you know what the sad thing is? A lot of us secretly do the same thing to others. Amen? Pastor Ledbetter, have you had people that have secretly worked against you in your church? Right? Where's another preacher? It's been around for a while. Brother, have you had people secretly working against you? Now, I know there's wicked people trying to tear the church, but there are people. Now, this is where the pop-up stuff comes in. There, faithful are the wounds of a friend. There are people in the ministry, in the churches, that secretly work against the pastor and nobody knows but God, the devil, and the Holy Spirit. They're trying to... In fact, if the church went down, they'd laugh. In fact, if the pastor went down, they'd love it. In fact, if... Secretly working. Hey, listen, I want you to clean this up. Okay? Okay? Got it? All right. Now, we always think of tearing the church, and I know some of you have been through a lot of pain. There are some people that are trying to tear. But other people, it's like, listen, take care of this, okay? Come in the morning, it's not done. Why isn't it done? Why isn't it done? He's not lazy. I know he can work. I've seen him work. Why isn't it done? Because there are people who secretly are trying to dismantle the work of God. It's flesh. It's getting quiet. You know what that tells me? I'm getting through.
Amen.
I know my church people. I used to get so mad. Brother Jim, I get so mad. It'd go dead quiet in the room. I said, "Can somebody say amen in the house?" And they'd be dead quiet. And I know what that means. That means the Holy Spirit's going right through. Right? How many times have you seen it, right? It goes, it's creepy, isn't it? It just goes. Listen, guys. There are people in churches that don't mind messing up your preaching, that don't mind messing up the music, that don't mind slowing down the direction of the church, man. They love it, and they are tools of the devil, and they'll be in heaven. They're saved. They're saved. They're saved, but they'd be glad to see the whole thing go down. Now, I asked you guys to read verses. Now, I know sometimes you got a thumb there. But I asked you guys to read verses and help me do my lesson if you just jump up and read the verse. Come on now. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Say it. You guys, maybe you can get the cookie. Ready? Faithful are the wounds of a friend.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend.
Wounds hurt. Wounds, people don't like them. Wounds don't want them. But sometimes they come from friends. I asked you to help. I asked you to find a verse. I asked you to pop up like a man. I thank God for those who did. But be ready to get involved. Be ready to get committed. I'm not doing that because subconsciously my flesh says no man tells me what to do. Say amen right about there. Especially not no stinking short midget Marine Corps reject from America. Yeah, amen. Oh, let some Texan tell me what to do. Talk about the most arrogant people on the face of the earth. I'm from Texas. Yeah. He's my friend. He's my friend. He's my friend. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I made the decision. He didn't make the decision. I made the decision. He's my friend. You understand that? It's a one-way street. One-way street. He's my friend, whether I'm his friend or not. That's networking. If I like you, you like me. You help me, I help you. Mm-mm. I've got friends that are full of the devil today that used to love the Lord. They're still my friend. And so Saul was secretly working against David. Now, what I need you to do is somebody to pop up real bravely when I say the verse here. 1 Samuel 23, verse... it's supposed to be 9, but that's the one that Saul just read. I'm sorry. It's okay. It's the same chapter, and it's about Jonathan. 16. Can somebody read verse 16, chapter 23? Thank you, Tony. Yes, sir. Amen. There's David's friend, Jonathan. He was David's friend. Saul was not David's friend. But I want you to see the relationship. Remember, friendships are just relationships, okay? I'm Jonathan. You're Saul. You're David. I'm your flesh and blood. You're my father. I'm your son. I'm going to be the next king of God's land, Israel. By the way, you better never. You're not right with God if you stand against the Jew. You're crazy.
You're right.
You're asking for it. You say, why would you say something in the middle of a sermon like that? Because I've had people in my church tell me how that Israel is of the devil. And they're born again and they're saved. They're out of their mind. But anyway, so Saul and Jonathan, I'm going to be the next king. He's going to pass off. I'm heir of the throne. Here's my friend who I love as much as I love myself. He's right with God. He's full of the devil. He's my friend. He's my flesh. What do? I have two relationships. I choose the way of God. Amen. Over my own father? Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? They that do the will of God. I have three Irish Catholic families saved and baptized and added to our church. I had the man look me in the eye and give me a hug and say, now, I didn't say it back. He said to me, you are the best friend I have ever had. A man in his 40s. Led him to Christ. Baptized him. His wife got saved in a church. Baptized her. His son I led to Jesus Christ at 17. Baptized him. His other two children got saved in our church. Baptized the other son. Discipled them. Taught them the Bible. Took him to church planting school in America. You're the best friend I ever had. Now, this is inference, and I can't prove it, but I believe it as much as I'm standing here, and I believe Declan would say he agrees, not because I'm his pastor, but because he watched it all go down. She had had enough of God and church. This is far enough. I'm glad I'm not going to hell. But she dug her stilettos into the dirt, and she wasn't moving anymore. And she said, I'm not going. And she said, I'm staying home. And eventually, he said, I'm staying home too. He chose his flesh, his family, the ones against God, over his preacher, over his brothers who he prayed with. And it was the wrong choice. And we've got people in society today that will choose lost family. And that's about over the way of God. Now, let me give you, please, one last verse, Matthew 26, and I promise you I'm done. Everyone turn there. How do I always do this? Matthew 26, verse 50. I want to show you what not kind of a friend to be in church. Here's a man in church with his pastor, if you'll allow me to preach and stretch a little. I believe there's principles you could draw here. Here's Jesus. He's about to be taken by the Romans to be crucified, to go on his mock trials. And I want you to see what Jesus says in verse 50 of Matthew 26. And he said, and Jesus said, speaking to Judas, unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. I don't believe Jesus was a smart aleck like I am at all. He was the Lord. He is the Lord. He's here. He hears everything I say. But I want to say this. I believe when he looked in the eyes of Judas, he wasn't being sarcastically lying and saying, friend. I believe that Jesus still counted that human being, even though he betrayed him and hated him, as his friend. Friendship is a one-way street. You choose to be a friend. You need good friends. And when someone smacks you on the snout and tells you you're wrong, faithful are the wounds of a friend. But the kisses of Judas, the kisses of an enemy, are deceitful. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. Please help me, Lord, to be a better friend to my friends. Please help me, Lord, to follow Thee. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for Pastor Ledbetter. Thank you. He's my friend, and he's been there when I needed a friend. In Jesus' name.